Okay, I think it's time to start, so let's let's do this. How about let's pray, and then we'll get started. God, thanks for these students. Thanks for the opportunity you give us to share a little bit about a spiritual discipline that's very key. It's core for our lives. And so, God, I pray that you would be with us today, that you would change our lives, even today, forever. And God, I am so grateful for these students, for their energy, for their life. Well, okay, not so much early in the morning, but God, I thank you for who they are and what they're doing and how they're growing and the education that they're receiving here. And so, God, be with us during this time. I pray it might be a time to make us think, to make us possibly change, and maybe add a key component to our spiritual walk. And God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Any guys ever had a bad day? Anybody here ever have a bad day? Once or twice. I can remember, it's today. Today's the day. I can remember when, quite a few years ago, when my kids were younger, we went to, I'd been traveling all summer and I was speaking at different conferences and camps and stuff like that. And we came back on a Friday night. New student orientation that year was starting on Saturday. And on Saturday night, we were bringing some students to our house for, you know, we were just doing a get together there with like an I group was coming to our house. And anyway, so we got in Friday night, and I checked the, my wife wanted to run some errands on Saturday morning, and so I got into our station wagon, okay, which is a family station wagon, and I turned the ignition key, and nothing happened, not even those annoying little clicks, you know, you hear when the battery is dead, nothing. And so that had a makings of a bad night before the bad day. I went into the house, and the typical American family has, I don't know, 10, 15 flashlights, none of which work. And so I had put a flashlight up on top of the refrigerator to keep it away from the kids so I could use that. Well, I grabbed that flashlight, and I was walking out of the door of the house, and I flipped the switch, and apparently my kids had gotten to it because the battery was dead. And so I had to get up real early the next morning because I was going to mow the yard. I wanted to, you know, wanted the place to look nice when students came over. And I got up real early to fix the car, jumpstart the car, got that done. And I went to mow the yard, and I pulled the string on the lawnmower, and lawnmower string broke. Now, let me give you a word of advice. If lawnmower strings break, you might as well throw the whole thing away. And I'm trying to get everything put back together, the springs and all that stuff. And so anyway, I ran over to a neighbor's house, and I borrowed the lawnmower, his lawnmower, and I mowed my yard in record time. I mean, I was going pretty fast, but I couldn't believe it. I had just done it so fast because I checked my watch, and I thought, man, I've got plenty of time. So I was doing some other things around the yard. I was in charge of a session. I was in charge of a session at 10 a.m. Here at the college. I live in Louisville, 12 miles away. And so, man, I was like, okay, I can do some other things around the house. So I did some other things around the yard and stuff. And I thought, well, I'll just go into the office early. And I walked into the house, and the microwave clock said 9:45. And I thought, okay, wait. My kids have probably been messing with the clock or something, or with the microwave. I walked by the stove clock, and the stove clock said 9:46. Then I looked closely at my watch, which is no longer with us. I looked closely at my watch, and the battery on my watch had stopped. That has the makings of a bad day. I mean, to get from Louisville to here, shower, all that stuff, and be in charge of it, no problem for Austin, right? Okay, so, yeah, but here's the deal. If you'd have looked at all those things, you know, if you looked at my station wagon, okay, as far as family station wagons go, you would have thought it was quite capable of transporting someone. But without any power, it was useless. Track with me. If you'd have looked at that flashlight, you'd have thought, man, that flashlight is quite capable of shedding light. But without any power, with the batteries dead, it didn't shed any light at all. If you'd have looked at the lawnmower, well, unless you looked pretty closely, you'd have thought it was capable of mowing lawns, but it had no power. My watch, it was ornate. It was ornate, but without any power. I mean, it really had no purpose. Now, here's the deal. You know, as I look at the church, and as I look at believers in Christ, some of you look great. I mean, you look beautiful, ornate, handsome, all that stuff. Some of you, not so much. I'll not say which is which. But look, you know, you look quite capable of serving in the kingdom of God, being a person of influence, but without any power. You're useless to the kingdom. Now, when you take a look at guys, when you take a look at the church, it's really tragic that we ought to be people of the Word, and yet we're not. Here's what I'd like for you to do. If you have Bibles, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12. It's really a fairly famous passage of Scripture. It says this: "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." So, the Word of God is living and active. Man, are we even associated with the Word of God? When several years ago, I took a youth group. They came to visit Dallas, and they were doing inner-city ministry, and I like to take them on a tour, show them where I grew up, all that kind of stuff, talk about growing up in inner city, and I usually, you know, I take them to a Krishna temple, Hare Krishna. It's a Hindu religion. And I took these guys to this Krishna temple, which is downtown. And it's kind of like their temple is a room kind of like this. Like up here is all what they call the deities. They're basically idols. And you know, there's a curtain that opens up. It's really a pretty cool place to visit. And over on this side of the wall, there's a statue of the Prabhupada. He's their modern-day guru. There's a wax figure of him, which is really kind of creepy looking because they worship this wax figure. They wash the wax figure. I mean, you know, it's really cool. They wash the statues, and they think it's awesome if you get the, like this, they wash it in milk and stuff like that, and then they take the stuff that runs off either the statue or these idols, and you can drink it, and that's really makes you holy on the inside. Anyway, and beside the statue of this Prabhupada, their modern-day guru, on both sides, there's these bookshelves that are full of this guy's writings, the Gita, all these translations. I mean, the bookshelves are just full of this guy's, the things that he's written. So this guy was showing us around, and I asked him how long he had been a Krishna, and he said, well, about 12 years. And I said, in all those years, how many times have you read through all these books? And the guy hung his head and he said, well, only a little over 3 times. I didn't want to embarrass the youth group that was with us. And so later on, I asked him, I said, hey, how many of you, and this is a group of 30 young people, I said, how many of you have read through this book, the Bible? How many of you have read through the Bible just once? How many guys you think did? Yeah, well, 2 raised their hands, and I think 1 was lying. He was kind of like, yeah, okay. You know, but out of 30 young people, high school young people who call themselves Christians, only 1.5 had read through the Bible. All I asked this Hindu guy, I said, what do you think about Christians? And he laughed, which kind of ticked me off. And he says, Christians make me laugh. And I said, yeah, I got that, but why? Here's what he said. This is the truth. Here's exactly what he said. He said, Christians make me laugh because they don't even know what a Christian means. He said, I understand that the word Christian means follower of or disciple of Jesus Christ. He said, Christians don't know what that means. Look, I am a disciple. I am a follower of Lord Krishna. And he said, that means I want to know everything that I can know about Krishna. I want to follow everything I can about Lord Krishna. I want to study everything I possibly can. These guys, these radical, whacked out Hindu guys, they get up at 4:30 in the morning just so they can go study about Krishna, a false god. He said, Christians make me laugh. You know, he preached one of the best sermons I've ever heard because he was right. He was right. I mean, look, if you're a Christian here today, if you are a Christian, you know, let me ask you, is Jesus the one true Lord? Yes or no? Yes. Yeah. Is he Messiah? Is he? Yes. Is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Is he the Son of God? Is he who we follow?
Yes.
Okay, if, thank you, four of you. Yeah, if he is, the others are going, it's early, it's almost 11. Okay, if he is, then we of all people ought to be people of the Word. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Let's take a look. They said it would work. They told me it would work. They lied. I don't know. It may not have a... This is a bad day. Wait, maybe up there? What? Run around the room? Point it where? I don't... Point it there. Okay, does somebody know how to run that thing? They said all you have to do is just... pull the trigger, but it won't go backwards. Okay, hang on. Here we go. I will fix it. They're recording this. Okay. Bingo. We'll do it from back here. Let me see if I can get it to work now. There. Hey, Chloe. The word for life is zoe, or living. Yeah, just push this. You just click and push that. Okay, the word for living is zoe, which means life. Okay, so the word of God is life. Go ahead, Chloe. Will it? Yes. Go again. Click again. Yeah. And the Greek word for living and active, the Greek word for active is, we get the English word from this. It's energēs. If you say it fast, energēs, which is energy. Yeah, so the word of God is life and energy. Now think about it. If the Word of God is life and energy, it's life and energy for who? For those who read it. It's for those who are Christians. Okay, I lost some of you. Hang in. So this morning I want to talk about two different kinds of Christians, okay? If you call yourself a Christian, all right, we're going to talk about two kinds of Christians. One are anemic, illiterate, weak Christians. And then the other is those who are empowered, those who have power. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about the anemic Christian. Okay, go. The anemic Christian. How can you tell an anemic Christian? Just keep going. It's frozen? Oh, it's processing. Okay, how can you tell an anemic Christian? Let me give you four ways, whether they're up here or not, and maybe they'll come up here. Ah, there you go. One, there's no zeal. There's no zeal. Look, if you're not in the Word of God, then there's no zeal. I mean, you're not excited about God. You're not excited about life. It's like Eeyore. I don't care about anything. You know, you're just like walking through life. The second way that you can tell an anemic, illiterate Christian is they gripe a lot. They gripe. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like that person. I don't like this situation. I don't like that church. I don't like that pastor. I don't like this college. I don't like Mark Worley. You know, you just, nobody say amen. See, you are sleeping. So that's a good part. Okay. you know, they gripe a lot. And you know that they're not in the Word because they would have run across 1 Corinthians 10. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it says that the children of Israel died in the wilderness for four reasons. One, they tested God, sexual immorality, worshiped idols, and they griped a lot. Yeah, we're sick of this manna, we're sick of this. You know, first, there's no zeal, no energy. They're stagnant. Second, look, if you're not in the Word, then you're going to gripe a lot. Third, they whine a lot. Any of you guys have a brother or sister who whines? Maybe a roommate? Okay, they whine a lot. You know, and it's like, you know, when my kids were little, they were whiners. I mean, they would start whining. It's like, Dad, and I'm going, hey, guys, I can't understand whining. Oh, okay, Dad. You know, then they start. But these guys, look, you can hear them on DCC campus. God, I don't know your will for my life. God, I can't overcome this temptation. You wish God would say, would you stop that? Stop your whining and get in the Word. Yeah, but God, I don't want to get in the Word. Yeah, and then fourth, you can always tell anemic, illiterate Christians because they fall to temptation a lot. They do. They do. Look, Jesus, right after he was baptized, he went in the wilderness, and he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. Anybody here fasted for 40 days, 40 nights? I didn't think so. Okay, so he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. Look, I've been on weekend trips with college students, and if we're running a little bit late for lunch, you know, you guys see a cow out in the fields, like, hey, Worley, stop, kill, let's eat that thing, you know? I know, but Jesus fasts for 40 days, 40 nights. Satan comes and tempts him, and what does Jesus use? Does Jesus use a philosophy? No, Satan, the philosophical ramification of what might I do here might have far-reaching effects on society as we know in the future. Is that what Jesus did? Shake your heads no. Hey, did Jesus use theology? No, Satan, the theological ramifications of what I might do here might have far-reaching effects on the church as we know in the future. Is that what Jesus did? Hey, did Jesus use non-directive therapy? Hey, Jake, what do you think I ought to do? I don't know. Savannah, what do you think I ought to do? Hey, Logan, what do you think I ought to do? Is that what Jesus did? Get a group together. Let's talk about this. Is that what Jesus did? No. What did Jesus do? Anybody know? He followed the Word of God. He followed the Word of God. If Jesus did it, don't you think we ought to do it? Listen to Psalm 119, verse 9, says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? That's a big question, isn't it? In Psalm 119, David answers that question by living according to your word. He says, I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He says, praised be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes. This is verse 14. It's pretty amazing. Look, if I won the lottery, which would be a miracle because I don't play the lottery, but let's say I won 35 million bucks. Okay? I won 35. Yeah, Carla, her eyebrows went up with that. Okay, so Carla, let's say I won 35 million bucks and I say, Carla, you know, you are the one true person who's listening in this session. I'm going to give you $30 million. Now, what would you do? You would cry. Would you do the little happy dance? I mean, yeah, you would start rejoicing, right? Now listen to Psalm 119, verse 14. He says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one who rejoices in great riches. Wow. I rejoice in following your statutes as one who has spiked the ball in volleyball and just stuffed it. Woo-hoo! Okay. Yeah. Oh, did it. Okay, whatever the volleyball. You know, I'm so proud of our volleyball team. We played somebody the other day, and she said no. And I think it was Katie who just spiked the heck out of a ball. And I was like, she said yes, she said yes. And all the baseball guys were like, man, I don't know. And I said, hey, next time you yell with me. So, yeah. But I rejoice in following your statutes as one who rejoices in great riches. It says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. And in the Hebrew language, this is emphatic. It's emphatic. It's like a preacher pounding on a pulpit, which I don't do. But in the Hebrew language, he says this, I delight in your decrees. And this is where he hits the pulpit. He goes, I will not neglect your word, which is the very thing that we've done. Look, we've neglected the word. If the word of God is life and energy, who above all else would want to keep us from the word? It's the evil one. It's the evil one. I think it's time we identify some of the thoughts that come into our heads. Like, for example, the Word of God is boring. What? Where did that come from? You know, look, anybody who's read the Bible, it's anything but boring. I mean, read Genesis. There's some freaky stuff happening in Genesis. You know, where Judah loses his wife, and one of his daughter-in-laws, her husband dies, and so the next, you know, in Jewish tradition, the next guy, the next son takes over. He takes her as a wife, and she, Tamar, and he didn't want to do that, and so he died, and another son refused, and so Tamar goes, and she hides like in this prostitute place and dresses up like a prostitute. Judah, okay, the tribe of Judah, the Lion of Judah, you know, Judah comes in, and he's like, okay, you know, I'm on a trip, and I'm going to have sex with this prostitute, which is actually his daughter-in-law. He just doesn't know it, but he has, I'm telling you, it's in there. It's better than the Kardashians, for real. You know, you're like, oh, I just have to watch the Kardashians because they're so freaky. Read the Bible. But look, when I was out of DCC, I was in Midland, Texas. I was a youth pastor there, and I had some pretty rough guys in my youth group, and we did this survey of the New Testament, kind of like some of you guys are in a class, survey of the New Testament. We did this survey, and they liked it so much. They liked it so much, for real, that they said, hey, could we do the Old Testament? And I got to tell you guys, it was so awesome. When we got to Song of Solomon, you should have seen my guys. It was like synchronized looking at their Bible. They were like, dude, like, are we supposed to be reading this stuff? I said, guys, it's the Bible. Cool. And I can't remember exactly the verse. It's like Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 14. Don't look it up. But it was, or 8, 10, somewhere in there, that my guys memorized that one verse, okay? And we'd go to camp or someplace, and somebody say, hey, does anybody have a favorite memory verse? And my guys are like, yep. And I'm like, get your hands down. You're not quoting that one. But Mark, it's the Bible. Shut up. Get your hands down. You are not quoting that verse. I mean, look, the Bible's anything but boring. But Satan doesn't want us in it, and so he's going, oh, it's incredibly boring. It is not. There's some freaky stuff. You know, those of you who like Saw 12, you know, man, look, you go back. I'm telling you, in Judges, there's some freaky stuff going on. You know, these guys, I won't tell that story because, anyway, you know, just read the Bible. It's anything but boring. Or what about this? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. How ridiculous is that to use that as an excuse? Where did that thought come from? From the evil one that wants to keep you from life and energy. Guys, really, that's where it came from. Look, I've been married 39 years, and let me just tell you, I still don't understand my wife. Never will. You know what I'm saying? I don't. And hey, gentlemen, you know, let me just tell you, you are probably never going to understand these women. You're not going to understand them. And so, therefore, you're not going to be attracted to them. You're not going to hang around with them, right? You're not going to date them, right? You're not going to marry them, right? Because you don't understand them. right? No. You're going, no, I think, no, I don't know what Worley's talking about. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna talk to these girls. Why? If you don't understand them, why would you do that? See, guys, I think we need to identify some of the thoughts that come under here. Here's the biggest one. I just don't have time. Okay, here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to take this piece of paper. Sure. Yep. Take a piece of paper. And here's what I'd like for you to do. Okay? I want you to read. This is James chapter 1. Okay? And what I'd like for you to do is when I say go, what I want you to do is I want you to read through James, the first chapter. Okay? Want you to read through that. And when you're finished, you know, look at me, raise your hand, smile. You know, guys know I love smiles. So look at me and smile, or raise your hand when you're done reading through James, the first chapter. If you have a pen, you want to underline something, because we're going to share just a little bit about if you get anything out of this chapter. Okay, you ready? Has everybody got one? Everybody got one? Go. Go. They need one. Okay. Go. Okay, I think the vast majority of you are done. Sandy, you're not done? Okay. It was funny. Marquise was one of the first guys, and he was looking straight at me, and I tried to get him to smile, and then I got the head nod. You know, he's cool like that. Cal gave me a smile. It's scary. Okay. Hey, did anybody get anything out of that? If you got something out of that, raise your hand. If you got something out of it, raise your hand. Okay, what'd you get out of it? Just share for a couple of seconds. What'd you get out of it? Anybody who raised your hand? What? Cannot be tempted by God. Yeah.
You face trials to develop perseverance.
Yeah, you consider pure joy when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces hupomene, is a Greek word. It means I would stand even if a tidal wave should hit me. I will stand. It's a pretty cool word. Okay, yeah, Madam. Yeah, you are tempted more by yourself. Okay, anybody else? Any something else you got? Yeah, Erica.
I like how he says the evil that is so prevalent. It's just so clear the way he words that.
Yeah, it is everywhere. Okay, anybody else?
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.
Yeah, don't just listen. Do it. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Jake.
Verse 17 talks about everything good that we have comes from God.
Yeah. The good stuff comes from God. Okay, anybody else? Savannah, you look like you had one. Did you? Okay, it's just that anticipatory look. Okay, man, I'm surprised. Some of you didn't. Yeah.
To look after orphans and widows in their distress.
Yeah, that's true religion. That's true religion. Okay, here's the deal. Here's the deal. What you guys didn't know is I was timing you. Okay, the first person, Marquise, got done in about a minute and 15 seconds. Okay, the vast majority of you are done in 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Okay, let's round that up. Let's round it up, okay, to 3 minutes. Let me just ask you, okay, is 3 minutes too much time to give to God in a day? No. That's not a rhetorical question. I'm really asking. Okay, is 3 minutes too much time to give to God in a day? Okay, some of you are like, I think he's calling for a commitment, man. Be careful here. I'm just asking. Hey, is 3 minutes too much time to give to God in a day? No, but we say we don't have time to be in the Bible. Look, I've tried those read the Bible things through in a year and you miss a day and you're 2 years behind. I get it. But man, what would happen if we just read a chapter a day? Just a chapter a day. And then what happens is we step out from being weak, anemic Christians into empowered Christians. And what do empowered Christians look like? They have the word implanted in them. Hebrews 4:12b says this, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That's what the Word of God is. It's life and energy, and it penetrates. Westcott, a commentator, said it's sharper than the most formidable weapon of earthly warfare. It's more powerful than a nuclear weapon or a laser beam because it doesn't destroy a man. It penetrates right to his soul. Maybe that's why some of us don't read it, right? Because we're afraid that it might completely change us. The word does penetrate. Jeremiah 23:29 says this, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer that breaks a rock into pieces? Hebrews 4:12 says it penetrates. Leon Morris said, what God speaks is dynamic. It does things. Specifically, it penetrates into a person. John Calvin said, nothing so hard or strong in a man, nothing so hidden that the powerful word cannot pervade it. Westcott says, the word has unrivaled keenness. It pierces, in fact, to the most secret parts of a man. For who knows a man except the man's spirit within him and the Spirit of God? The word changes people. I know. It changed me. It changed me. Look, I grew up in the church, but I've shared my testimony with the majority of you guys. I didn't like Christians because they were such hypocrites, so legalistic, so judgmental, so stupid in my book. They said they were Christians, but they didn't act like it. Like some people here, right? And so I grew up in the church. I never read the Bible. Now, there may be others like me right here. I never read the Bible. Here's what happened. This very Bible that Selah went up to my office to get, this very Bible, I was in Dr. Snyder's English composition class, whatever. Okay, and I love her, but man, that... it's boring. And so back then, instead of laptops, we used to have briefcases, you know, that you could open up and hide stuff, you know, kind of like what you guys do, you know, with cell phones or whatever. You're like, no, I'm really checking the Bible. I'm you know, but instead, you know, you're checking scores or playing games, whatever. Anyway, so back then we had briefcases, and I would throw in Louis L'Amour Westerns or Spider-Man comic books. Okay, I was into that. And this one particular day, this is a true story, this very Bible. I had my briefcase, and so there was 18 heads that dropped. I stayed awake counting heads that, you know, there were 18 heads that morning that just, they fell asleep. And I was committed, I was not going to be number 19, okay? And so I pulled up my briefcase, and I'm going, okay, Spider-Man, here we come. And I opened up my briefcase, and I had forgotten to put in Spider-Man comic book or Louis L'Amour Western. All I had were my textbooks and this very Bible. And I thought, wow, what a bummer. So for the very first time in my life, it's a true story, very first time in my life, I turned to Jude. It's one chapter. And I read it. And I underlined some stuff right here. And I underlined some stuff, and I wrote some notes out to myself in the margin. I was like, wow, I've never read this before. I read a whole book in the Bible just right now. And I thought, man, it actually speaks to me. So I just went across the page to 3 John. It's one chapter, and I read through this. And I underlined. I was like, wow, I have never read this before. I get goosebumps thinking about this. Man, I was like, I've never read this before. And then I turned over to 2 John. That's one chapter, and I read through that. And I was like, man, I can't believe that. Like here on verse 2, it says, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, I wrote, even if I go bad. I was like, I can't believe this. Walk in love. This was starting to convince me. Okay, so then I noticed 1 John 5, which means there's 5 chapters, so I wanted to skip that. And I went to Philemon. That's one chapter. And I read through that, and I was like, man, I can't believe this stuff is here. And then I just started reading, you know, one chapter a day, at least just one chapter a day. Instead of, you know, instead of trying to read the Bible thing through in a year, I just one chapter. And before long, man, I just started. And then I finished this Bible. Man, it started changing me. And then I got another Bible. This one. And I read through this Bible and another one. And look, I'm not really good at scripture memorization, but I'm telling you, it started changing me. It really changed me. For example, I was deep into pornography. I ran across Philippians 4:8. I hated that one. Look, this Bible it's amazing that this one has survived, because I'd read something, I'm like, oh, and I'd throw the Bible. And I thought, no, it's Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, noble, true, let your mind dwell on these things. Here's what would happen. You know, we didn't have porn on the internet. We didn't have the internet, you know. So bottom line, you know, I'd walk up to a magazine rack or something, and it was like this song in my head, Philippians 4:8. I'm like, not now, man. I mean, and I had to look weird, because I'm like arguing with self. You know, I'm like, not now. Yes, now. No, walk away. So I walked away. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood where we cut people down, and man, I love to cut people down. And then I ran across Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is for the upbuilding of the body and the edification of those who listen. The Good News Translation says that which is for the building up of others. So somebody, you guys know, man, especially in the church, people would set themselves up to be cut down, and I'm like, ah! And then I was like, ah, it's the same song, Ephesians 4:29. And I'm like, but God, they want it. You know what I found out? No, they didn't. They wanted to be encouraged. And so it started changing me. And guys, I got to tell you. Let me warn you. Okay, I'm telling you, I got so filled up with the Word of God. I got so excited about the Word of God that one day I prayed this prayer. I said, God, this is so incredible. This is so powerful. God, I just have to share this. And from that day to this very moment, God has honored that prayer. It has transformed my life, this. It's changed me. And it'll change you. You know why? Because it's life and energy. And so really, the key spiritual discipline for Christians is being in the Word. And you guys can go, oh, well, I studied the Bible. But man, put a Bible beside your bed before you go to sleep at night, 3 minutes, underline. Don't start with Genesis. It's like 58 chapters. You know, maybe start with Ephesians. In 6 days, you'd be through Ephesians. Before next Wednesday, you'd be through Ephesians. And it's incredible. Ephesians 1, man, you're adopted. You're chosen. Man, when I read Ephesians 1, it made me feel so good about myself that I am chosen by God. I'm important. Ephesians 2, oh, man, it is by grace you are saved through faith. Ephesians 3, man, now to him is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his powers that work within us. Ephesians 4, man, the power of the body of Christ. Ephesians 5, you are light. Ephesians 6, you're a soldier for Jesus Christ, man. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I'm just, it's 6 days, you read that stuff. It's just great stuff. Galatians, it's 6 chapters, 6 days. Galatians 5, 1 is so awesome. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free, right? Sounds like Braveheart. I mean, it's just incredible stuff. Philippians, 4 chapters. Philippians 3, forgetting what lies behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Philippians 4, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do this. I can make it through today. Wow. Colossians, 4 days. It's just 4 chapters. Colossians. And Colossians 1, it's so awesome. He is before all things. He is in all things. He is above all things. Man, he is God. You know, Colossians 2, Colossians 3, I shared yesterday in Acts class. We are hidden in him. It's just awesome stuff. I'm just telling you. You know? And then, you know, you escalate to the big stuff, you know, like the Gospels or Acts, you know, something like that. It can change your life. I've got 2 sons and a daughter. My oldest son, Kyle, I've talked about him. He's a behemoth. You know, he's like 6'1", 425 pounds. He can squat 600 pounds. My second child, when he was young, could have been a poster child for a starving nation. Now, you're probably thinking, well, here's the deal. The big kid stole food from the little kid. No. My second son just would not eat. Now he's fine, but he just wouldn't eat. And when he was about 3 years old, my wife called me up and said, Mark, you got to come home right away. Zachary's been throwing up, and he is, you know, it's bad. Come home right away. I got home, and she was right. My son had been throwing up, and he didn't have anything to sustain him, so literally he was on the verge of going into a coma. And so we rushed him to the doctor, and the doctor said, look, you got to put him in the hospital right away. And so the doctor rushed, and you know, we rushed him to the hospital, put him in the hospital. They had needles all in him. Over the next 2 days, they gave him 8 bags of fluid. He was that dehydrated. And during that time, look, here's the truth. The nurse brought a tray of food and put it in front of him, and he pushed it away and said, no, I'm not ashamed to say, guys. Man, with tears in my eyes, I pushed the tray up and I said, Zach, please eat. Please. Please. And I wonder sometimes, with tears in his eyes, if God doesn't look at us, his children, and he sees how some of us are weak and we're sick, we're dying. And I wonder if with tears in his eyes, God doesn't just say, would you please eat? It's life and energy for you. And guys, on behalf of God today, I'm begging you, please, just 3 minutes a day, please, just one chapter, please, please eat, please do that. God, I pray that you would be with my brothers and sisters, that we would be filled with life and energy because we're in the Word, and we will find that Jesus is the Word. God, thank you that on that day in Dr. Snyder's class, for the very first time, I read. Thank you, God, for the life and energy that you've given me through this Word. And God, I pray for my young brothers and sisters that they would take just a short amount of time a day. And God, that it would transform their lives. Please, God, by your Spirit, would you move in them just to pick it up? And if they need to find a different translation that they can understand, God, if whatever it is they need to do to grow, I pray that that would happen. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, if you can't, if you have a Bible that you can't understand the translation or something, let me know. Stop by my office. I pick up Bibles all the time. I'll be glad to give you a Bible. But please, study your Word. Hey, here's some questions, just real quick. No, you can go, but grab this paper. Don't leave it on the seat, please, okay? If all else fails, throw it in the trash, okay? That's fine, but don't leave it in the seats, all right? But take a look at some of these questions. Check them out. See what you think. And then, hey, guys, also, just don't forget about this weekend. There's going to be Saturday is barbecue, Friday night, there's going to be a country and Western dance kind of thing out here in the parking lot, which I like because I know how to two-step. I know that. And my wife and I will be here two-stepping. Okay. We won't rain on your parade. All right. But, have a great day, guys. I hope it's a good day.